Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. The best to you each morning. What's the rest of it? With a K-E-L-L. Old. Oh, come on. Am I the only old person that knows the Kellogg's jingle? Thank you for worship this morning. Thank you for worship. I'll tell you what. I love worship. And when I think about grace, I think about being in that place where I'm experiencing the grace of God and I'm going, God, my life is yours. Ask of me anything, I'll give it all. Would you go across the street and see the homosexual couple that's living there? Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. You see, God has given us grace, and grace from Him to us, and we love it. We love it. We sing about it. We jump and shout and raise our hands. But when it comes from us out, not so much. I don't know if you've realized this, but we are living and moving deeper and deeper into a negative society. Everybody's got an opinion. It's like armpits. People have two and they both stink. Facebook, full of opinions. Full of negativity. Yesterday morning it snowed, right? We had snow, we had yucky, heavy, wet, slush, ick. And at 7 o'clock I went out with my snowblower and I cleaned out my driveway and I got to the bottom of my driveway and it was wet. I mean, it was wet, slush. And my snowblower kept getting clogged with it because it just was so heavy. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll leave it till later. Not such a good idea. I went out later, several hours later, and it was frozen. And I was out with my shovel trying to break it up and move it. And along comes a guy in an orange pickup truck with a plow. And I heard the plow drop, and I looked up, and he is coming towards the end of my driveway. And he made two passes and pushed it all away. And then he waved. And he went on. Do you realize he was showing grace to someone he didn't know? So I went on Facebook. I went on I live in Treasure Lake. We have a Treasure Lake Owners Association Facebook page. I went on that page. And I said to whoever you were that plowed out the end of my driveway, thank you. Do you know I got 60 responses to that? I mean, it was all just thumbs up stuff. But I thought about that. All I was doing was giving a thanks and a praise. Why did I get so many responses? Because people like that. People really don't want to hear all the negativity. There's enough of it. I don't know if you can see that. Grace is a gift. Receive it responsibly. The grace of God that has been given to you is a gift to you. Use it responsibly. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. But God is so rich in His mercy, He loved us so much that He gave. That even though we were dead and because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. His grace. His favor. His purpose. Well, God must have saved me so I can be a wonderful preacher. No. In fact, he says he could use stones and probably do a better job. For Christ raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as an example of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us. Listen, I don't know where you've been, but you do. You know your history. You know your failures. You know your shame. And God said, I love you in spite of it. Oh, I wished I could go back and change some of the things that I've done in my life, but I can't. I understand when Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Because I don't care who you are, all of us have a past. And you may look good. But in reality, our past is ugly. I would not want you reading my thoughts at times. The thoughts that I battle with sometimes. My wife is reading a book. I think it's called Shutting the Chatterbox. What does that mean? I asked her, I said, what does that mean? What are you reading? She goes, shutting down the voices in your head. No, you don't have to be schizophrenic to hear that. We all get voices. Call it self-talk, the accusing voice. You know, an interesting study a number of years ago was done with schizophrenics. Actually, they were people who were hearing voices. And what the study learned was that if the people who are hearing the voices would confront the voices and send them to wherever they would go, that they would eliminate the voices. But the problem was that the voices were often soothing and wonderful and great and fun to listen to, and they didn't want to tell people that they were hearing these voices. And they reached a point that the voices became accusatory, negative. They couldn't get rid of them. I've worked with schizophrenics for years. And sometimes it was funny. I remember one man, his name was Harry Kleinhardt. Harry was a World War II veteran. And Harry said to me one day, he said, Bernie, does Jesus talk to you? I said, well, yes, Harry, he does. Does he talk to you? Oh, yeah. Really, what does he tell you? He tells me to burn the house down. I said, well, Harry, what do you do? He said, oh, I don't do that. That'd get me in a lot of trouble. See, God, in his incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, has shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. For God saved you by what? His grace. His grace. And don't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast. I love grace. And sometimes I am surprised by the grace of God, especially when I'm such an idiot. Is that a bad word to say? I'm so foolish. I don't use my head all the time. And sometimes when I get sick, I'm annoying. I'm probably the only male that does this, right? Do I hear an amen from the women's side? But you know, I mean, here's the deal. If I'm not feeling well, I'm okay. Just leave me alone. That's all I want. Just leave me alone. And some of you may have read this because I posted this last Wednesday on Facebook, and some of you have me as a friend on Facebook. Poor people. But I was sick. Now, I wasn't on my deathbed, but I was sick. I don't know if I had the flu or if I had a cold or if I had both of them together. And I think I had both of them together. And I wanted chicken soup. It's the cure-all, right? I wanted chicken soup. I love to make chicken soup. Nice big chunks of chicken and potatoes and carrots and celery and onions and rice and good for men. And I wanted chicken soup and I'm being, listen, the grace of God isn't coming out of me, okay? I'm a little grumpy. And I said to my wife, I said, can I borrow your car and go downtown? And she said, no. Now, you've got to understand my reasoning. I have a black soul. You didn't know that. It's a Kia. All right. Never mind. But anyway, so I've got this. My car is outside under the snow. It has been for 3 or 4 days. And it's cold outside. Her car is inside a 60-degree garage, and it's already warm before you even get out of the garage. So naturally, I don't feel good. Naturally, I want her car. And she said, no, take your own. Now, I don't want one can of soup. I want 6 cans because I'm that sick. And I'm just having a pity party. You know how sometimes we can have pity parties, both men and women. And I was not feeling very gracious. And the stupid phone rang. And it was my neighbor. Hello. Hey, Bern. I just made a whole big batch of chicken soup. Do you want some? I'll bring it up. I said, are you kidding me, Lord? Are you kidding me? You had to take my heathen neighbor and send him to make soup for me? Are you kidding me? Sure, Harry, bring it on up. And I'm thinking, isn't it just like God to demonstrate his grace to you through someone? It's not fair. But God saved you by his grace, not because you deserved it, not because you did anything to earn it, because he loves you. You see, grace is simply a blessing. It's kindness. It's used 170 times in the scriptures. And what my neighbor was demonstrating was grace to me. Kindness. Now, oh, I hope he never hears this. My neighbor is a nice guy, okay? He is a nice guy, don't get me wrong. But he's got an opinion about everything. I don't argue, I don't talk to him about stuff because, I mean, even the church, if I talk to him about the church is, well, they just take your money. You ever have one of these people that's just really, really hard to talk to? I mean, I used to be 5'6". I'm now 5'5". It happens when you get older. And he's 6'5" at least. And so when he talks, he's talking like this, and I'm like this. And I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a great guy. Oh, but he's hard to talk to about spiritual things. I'm going to share this story about the chicken soup with him. Because I want to hear, I want him to know that God used him to demonstrate grace to me when I was not looking to give grace to anyone. And you see, God's grace is unmerited favor. My neighbor sent me chicken soup and I didn't have to do anything for it. In fact, he had no idea what was going on in my home. He had no idea that my wife and I were going to get a divorce over chicken soup. So, grace and mercy. They're like a two-sided coin. Mercy is God's withholding judgment or evil. that I deserve, that you deserve. That's the mercy of God. Grace! Is God giving me blessings or good that I do not deserve? How many of you want mercy? Have a police officer pull you over. What do you want? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Give me mercy. Give me mercy. In the earlier service, I told a story about your pastor getting pulled over. I'm not going to tell you the story. But he was praying for grace and mercy. And he got both. He got both. Some have said that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Here's a little twist on this. If you're going to share and give grace, it may be at your expense. Because the one giving the grace, it may cost them. I have a lot of offspring. I didn't mean to. I only had 3 daughters. That's produced 11 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. I just had 3. Okay? I'm just saying. It's not my fault. I have 3 daughters. I love all of them, but I have a middle daughter whom I love but is hard to give grace to. Don't tell me if you can relate to that. But I know that you can. And she's a struggle sometimes. And sometimes I'm saying, Lord, how do I love her? Some of the things she does, I'm like, where did she come from? And the joke in my family is that she was adopted, but she wasn't. Okay? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you feel like you were adopted because you are so different than your siblings. Her older sister and her younger sister told her that she was. Seriously. She called me last night and she's this daughter is mouthy. I mean, she's one of these people that will get in your face. And I'm like, honey, just calm down. Show some mercy and grace. Well, I can't do that. Ah, they're just wrong. No, they're not wrong, honey. Your son's wrong. He started this with his decision. Well, it's still not right. Yeah, it wasn't right for Jesus to go to the cross, but he did because he loved you. Love them. Love these people. Well, I don't want to. She got all done after the phone call. She gets all done and she says, thank you, Dad, for talking to me. I just really needed to hear some wisdom. Like, oh, Lord, what are you trying to do to me? He says, well, you got to preach tomorrow. Give you some fresh material. But think about it. Grace, extending grace to other people costs you. It cost the Father everything. It cost him his Son. And we want a life that doesn't cost us anything. I'm reading a book on grace right now, and it's wrecking me. It's wrecking me. And in the book, he's talking about, you know, there's a lot of divisions in Christendom. I mean, the homosexual issue, race issues, alcohol issues, everything, right? I mean, it's all over the board. I just want to be a follower of Jesus. Whatever that means, Lord, to whoever that is, I want to be just a follower of Jesus. But in this book, I'm reading this book, and he's talking about the alcohol issue. And he was saying that he's talking about Peter and the food coming down and coming before Peter and the Lord saying, take, Peter, eat. And Peter goes, no, none of that has ever touched my lips. And what was he doing? He was bringing Peter to a place to go to the Gentiles. The people that were like, no, we don't talk to those people. And the writer of this book is sharing that. He said he likens it to being in a Southern Baptist convention and a full bar comes down out of the sky and it says, come take drink, all of you. No, that stuff has never touched my lips. then why are you making it such a division? You see, the grace of God compels me to love everyone, not agree with everyone. And the question is, how do I love them? How do I love them? And what I realize is that grace is going to have an expense on my part and your part if you're going to give it. We want it. Oh, Lord, the grace of God. Thank you, thank you. And then he says, but now go give it. Okay, who's on my friends list I can give it to? No, not on your friends list. Go find people. Go find them. I can remember sitting with some elders praying at this church, and they're praying, oh Lord, send people to our church. Lord, fill the pews this morning. Lord, send them in from the highways and byways. And I'd been there several weeks, and I finally got done with prayer. I said, guys, listen, you want people to come to your church, invite them for dinner at your house. Let them get through that threshold first. Well, I don't know about some of those people, about them coming into my house. And I'm like, are you kidding me? The grace of God was extended to you to come into His house. And what is your history? Well, nobody knows my history. Yeah, right, that's the problem. He does. We know about falling from a... That's pretty low, isn't it? I have to remember that. Anyway, a fall from grace is what? To lose privilege. To lose privilege. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to fall from the grace of God. In fact, what I've realized is you can't fall far enough from the grace of God. You know the old saying, He saves from the uttermost to the guttermost. Or is it the guttermost to the uttermost? Whatever it is, He's there. And His grace will reach into the depths of everything and anything. But will mine? Will yours? See, that's the question. That's the question. Listen, look at a few of these verses with me. First of all, grace is the bridging point. You want a bridge between people? Use grace. You want a bridge across different groups of people and ethnic groups and whatever? Use grace. Love them as Christ loved the church, loves us. Look, grace is not just something that you receive once, but it's to be lived out every single day, every single moment, for it is to fulfill His purpose and His mission in your life as a believer. God didn't give you grace so that you can just be happy and just dance around and sing and all that stuff. Oh, that's fun and that's great. God gave you grace so that you can be a witness, so that you can be a testimony. You know how simple that is? You walk into Walmart. What's wrong with you? How come you're so happy today? Because Jesus lives. That's why. Because I have a song in my heart. Well, how can you have a song in your heart with the weather the way it is? Because I don't live in Siberia. Praise God. Well, that's just stupid. You could be living in Alaska. My sister lives in Alaska. It was 50 degrees all week last week. It ain't that bad in Alaska. Do you get what I'm saying, though? Look, 2 Peter 3:18, rather you must what? Grow in grace. You know how you grow in grace? Give it out. Oh. And I can tell you right now, sometimes giving out grace to some people is hard. You don't want to. I know it. I don't. God says, do it anyway. Well, that's not fair. Jesus went to the cross and that wasn't fair. Do it. Grow in grace, Peter says. grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is necessary to fulfill his purpose and his mission. Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why? Because of what they were doing. They needed the grace in order to be able to do it. Why? Because there was conflict. There were people out there wanting to kill them. But with great grace, they stood up and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I lead a coaching group. Your pastor is one of them, one of the guys. There's just five of us, and we're doing a secular book called Start With Why, Simon Sinek. Start With Why. And I've had a couple of the guys say, this book is wrecking me. It's wrecking my thinking. It's wrecking my church. It's wrecking my ministry. It's wrecking everything I've done, and I don't know what to do anymore. Why? Because, you see, the problem is oftentimes we go to what? I'm having trouble in my marriage. What do I do? My attendance is down in the church. What do I do? The giving is down. What do I do? What? No. Why is it down? Why are people not coming? Why is my marriage the way it is? See, if I start with why, the what naturally follows. Now, it's a secular book, but I love it. It's exciting. I'm not sure, but I think when I look at the Bible and I ask the question of what is the why of the Bible? What is the why of the gospel? I come down to one simple thing. For God so loved the world. That was Genesis. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us life. He gave us creation. Why should I walk across the street to my neighbor? Because God so loved the world. Because he loved me. And sometimes, and I've done it, well, Lord, suppose I don't hear. That's not your problem, Bernie. I didn't ask you to do what they have to do. I asked you to do what you have to do. Go across the street. Go take your snowblower and do their driveway. Well, they never talk to me. So what? Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Acts 6:8, and Stephen, full of grace, I love that, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Full of grace. Whose grace? God's grace. God gave Stephen the ability to do what he did. And then when Stephen was being stoned to death, he gave him the grace to stand there and praise God in the midst of it. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to get stoned to death, okay? Whether it's on drugs or real stone, I mean, I don't want to do either. But the grace of God enables me to walk across the street, to go to the extra mile, to reach out into places that I have a harder time reaching out to. Look, 2 Corinthians 12:8 and 9, three different times, and this is Paul, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said what? My grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Grace, see, we want it. We do want it. But do we want to give it? It's another matter. It's a whole other matter. Listen, God's grace is not an excuse to sin, but rather a reason to love and to serve him more fully. It's what it's about. Now I'm gonna finish with a story you know, and it's one that's I use the term wrecking because it's like, man, Lord, you're beating me up with some of this stuff. But it's the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. You know the story. It's an awesome story. And I think I've often identified with the prodigal son. Because I've been that person that's gone off. But I've been identifying with the older son in my righteousness. And you know it. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field working, and when he returned home, he heard music and dancing. And he said to one of the servants, "What's going on?" "Well, your brother is back. Your father has killed the fattened calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return." And the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. I thought about this story. One of my older brothers called me the other day. And he said, "Well, Bernie, I'm not going to be an elder. I'm too old. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I'm not going to be an elder in my church because they only want younger guys. They only want younger guys. They don't want us old guys." It's not right, Bernie. It's not right. And I didn't say it to him, but we're going to. I'll have the conversation with him. But I realize he's the older brother in the prodigal son. And I've thought about the times in church where I've heard, "Where was my party when I was shoveling the sidewalk? No one else was here. When I was opening the door and turning the heat on, where was my party? Where was my party when I was here for Sunday school and teaching and doing all the work and everyone else was just out lollygagging?" See, what I've realized is that we have, in our churches, have inadvertently, we've caused ourselves to be older brothers. And we don't have grace for other people and other things. And that's not right. And it's causing me to look at myself and some of my own stuff and saying, "Lord, I am sorry. I'm wrong. I'm wrong." You see, it comes down to this. When God says, "Give," He's saying for us to give our lives as a ransom. I often think about communion, that what God is saying, live your life like Jesus did, love like Jesus loved, and die like Jesus died. Well, it's not fair. I can see the Father going, "Yeah, you're right. It's not about fair. It's about my grace, and I want to use you as the channel." As we go to prayer, my question for you is simply this: where are you in this story of grace? You see, the reality is that what I'm learning, even for myself, is that I need to learn more about grace, and I need to extend it more. I need to find more places to reach out with grace. That is stretching me. It's stretching me. I'm an old guy, okay? In case you didn't know. Did you know that? Being honest, I love it. You want to hang out together? Why not? Old guys, hey, what the heck? If you want to live as a minister of God's grace, it will take you into uncharted territories for you. It will take you where you are not comfortable. I have some friends, I might have shared this before, but I have some friends that the grace of God has been taking them into a brewery. As a result of that, several people have come to Christ. Well, that's just not right. Why isn't it? Why isn't it? Well, it stretches me. Yeah, well, the grace of God will stretch you. Are you ready to be stretched? Let's pray. Father, as the worship team comes, Lord, you are calling us into some strange places. And Lord, I know that it's not places that we're going to be comfortable with, and yet you've called us there anyway. Let us go willingly into this new place. And let us do so, even though we may have fear and uncertainty, let us do so knowing that it is you who propels us. Let us do so with an anticipation to see what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.